after them on the shore. Cause I'm running, jumping, cannonballing into your love,
all right, you guys are doing so good. You're doing so good. So I want you to think about, I know there's probably at least one area of your life where you're like, man, I need some breakthrough. I need some boldness, some courage, some wisdom. I just need more of Papa's presence. You know, and there's probably some things we could think of that I'm like, I could take less of that, okay? I could just leave some fear behind. I could leave some inadequacy behind. I'm the only one that deals with that, not you guys here in Pewaukee, just me. But I want you to just take a moment. I want you to just think about what's some stuff you're going to lay down. And we're jumping into Papa's love, but, like, what do you want to jump into and more of him today? And we're going to... So just think for a second. You got to have at least... one thing to jump into and or at least one thing to let go of. I'm always telling people you got to make it concrete. If it's specific and concrete, we can do it. If it's just kind of all general, it's like, oh, nice, but how do I do that? Okay. You don't have to tell anybody what it is, but if you got one thing you can think of you want to jump into more in the Lord and or one thing you know you want to let go of and leave on the shore, just raise your hand. All right. You guys are great. 1, 2, 3.
I'm running, jumping, cannonballing into your love, I find myself in way over my head, here in your love, and all those things that once defined me, they're not here anymore, I left them on the shore, cause I'm running, jumping.
Good job. Let's give Jesus a cheer.
Could you grab me? We put that here. I'll just put this down in there. Thank you.
All right, you guys can grab a seat. All right, it's a party, and I'll praise if I want to, praise if I want to. My name is Kristen DeArp. I believe the Lord's raising up a modern-day mission movement that is about identity, responsibility, and creativity. And if we could each be our authentic selves... and then we could go we could be our authentic selves. We could take responsibility for whatever realm of influence God has put us in. And we go with kingdom creativity, which brings solutions to the problems of society. Then no matter where we go, we are going to see transformation. Whether I go to a neighbor local or a nation global, we're going to see transformation. So I have a nonprofit called Go Glocal, which is about going local and global, and that's kind of the story of my life. I have stories from the nations. I love what God's doing in the nations, and I'm particularly jealous for what he is doing right here in the Midwest. Sometimes we hear the big, wonderful stories of what he's doing around the world, and we're like, that's awesome for those people that need God much more than people right here. He doesn't do that for us right here. And that's a big, fat lie. Let's just call it what it is. And so I have some stories I'll tell us today, probably some from the nations, but also for some locally. And before I do, I'm just going to make a quick, brief public service announcement. If you would like some cool things after you're done, I have written 9 books, and I brought some of them and some of my mom's poetry books. And these are photos from all over the world. They're called photo stories. You tear one off, and you give it to somebody with a prophetic word. And everybody in the world wants free photos. Like, I've seen people turn on hats and mittens on the coldest night of winter. Like, on the street corner, free hats, free mittens. Nah. We got free photos! And they, like, stand in line to get a photograph. We've seen people saved, healed, set free, delivered. These have been given out in at least 20 countries, and hundreds of people have been touched by Jesus. Maybe thousands, and we've given out a lot of them, probably. And they're a really fun tool. And it's really great with kids, too, because they're super concrete. They're good with anybody. But that's in the back. And then I have a book called Kingdom Culture School of Ministry. After spending 10 years in ministry school, I got my undergrad in cross-cultural missions, third world studies, and then I've been to about 20 countries, and I've gotten to minister to about 40,000 people. I know I'm so young, right? I look and act younger than I am. I like to think that I look younger, not that I act younger. Anyhow, I took everything the Lord I learned, and I felt like the Lord told me to put on my heart to put it into a book so anybody anywhere in the world could have a resource where you could turn to any page, you could pick it up, and instantly Do it for yourself as a devotional or facilitate others going through it with no preps or props or process. And it works with ages 10 and up. It's going into it's now in its eighth language. And so we have, so this page says, how can I pray for you? And this is one of the activations I teach a lot on about praying for others. We'll talk about it today. But there's a biblical basis, and there's a description, and there's 1 to 4 activations. Everybody say activation. And that means do it. You know, we didn't learn how to ride a bike because Dad showed us a PowerPoint. Let's be real, you know? And you probably weren't good at it right away. And in the kingdom, sometimes we believe that if I'm not instantly good at something, I'm not anointed. Well, that's just not true. We all need to practice. And so I have this book, but I also have an online school I want to invite you to. It starts in a month. It's Thursday night, 6:30 to 9:30. We meet with people from all over the world on Zoom from your living room. And we're going to go through a year's worth of school of ministry in 14 weeks, one night a week. And we do activations, so we do breakout rooms. You're one-on-one with somebody else from peer, from, we've had Nigeria, Togo, Malaysia, Singapore, mostly from the U.S., but you get to hear a principle, try it, share it with somebody else, and it activates every learning style. We've had graduates between 12 and 83 years old so far. And people who go through the course can join a ministry team, plant schools of ministry, fun stuff. And I have flyers for that in the back. So that's coming up here soon. I'd love to have you guys join us. And if anybody wants to just drive a brief 5 or 6 hours and you want to go on a local mission trip in a few weeks, as long as you don't have anything else scheduled here, I didn't check the dates with you guys, you are invited to Revive August 27th, 28th, 29th. In St. Cloud area, Minnesota, we are doing Miracle Crusades. So we've got a venue for 20,000 people, praise the Lord. And you are invited to be on the ministry team. And we're preaching salvation, healing, and deliverance. Open air, America, just like we do in the nations. And you are invited to pray for us. You are invited to come with us. We have somebody flying in from Alaska to come and join the team. So if you want more info, you can grab one of those flyers and that would be great. Look at your neighbor and say, do you know how good looking you are? Could you grab me my phone there for a second? All right. So Lord, we thank you for today and what you're doing here in every way. And we thank you for your arrows going forth that pierce our hearts. And you're gonna ignite something in us that's a brand new start. You're fanning into flames all those coals and those embers that have just been percolating. And you're blowing the life on the flame and the fire that's going great. And you're sparking new fire where we thought there couldn't ever be one. So God, we thank you for your word that says, Matthew 9:35-38. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. So he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he would use you. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So today, God, we look and we know that the fields are ripe and we're so excited for what you're doing. And we say, God, I give you permission to use my life. Let's repeat after me. If you agree, say, I give you permission to use my life. See, guys, I've been all over the world, and I've seen entire public high schools come to Jesus at one time. I've been with underground movements where people under cover of darkness get to share their testimonies for the very first time. I have a relative that once set a deal with Iranian drug smugglers, and he took Bibles. They took heroin out of Iran, and he put Bibles in those donkey trains and sent them back in. I got a friend that just led 1,000 Muslims to the Lord in Pakistan. God's doing incredible things in the nations, but I'm jealous for what he's doing in this nation. And guess what? He's doing it through you. Take your lovely hand and just look at it and say, the kingdom's at hand. And you can sing it, you can say it, it's up to you. But look at your hand and say, the kingdom's at hand. The kingdom's in my hand. Now I want you to take that beautiful finger and just point it right at you and say, God's gonna use me. He's using me to do great things. So this message today, it's like an all-you-can-eat buffet, and you're going to hear lots of different stories and all kinds of things, and you got to see what you want to fill your plate with. So I want you to take note and take notice what testimonies and what things do they stir in your heart and your mind. And before we end, you're going to get a chance to share with somebody next to you and say, here's the one thing that I put on my plate from this buffet. Here's the one thing I'm going to do this week about what I heard, because I'm all about making super practical God's word. If I know this chair is real, I better put my weight on it. Otherwise, it's just a theory, right? All right, so we did this thing two months ago, back in June. We called it Bless Midwest. Everybody said Bless Midwest. And you guys here were a part of it, and it was so fun. We had a Zoom screen, and I had trained people from all over the Midwest in how to help people connect with people, how to help people encounter God, and how to invite them into more of Jesus. Everybody say connect, say encounter, and say invite. If we can connect with people, help them encounter God, and invite them to more of him, you're going to be an unstoppable force for God's kingdom. That's another book back there if you want it. So we did this training all day back in June, and we were live in Minneapolis at the center area of a lot of violence, because I thought, man, if Jesus were here, he'd probably come and throw a party right here. So we did a training all day and a party in the parking lot afterwards. It was just ungodly hot, and I didn't know if anybody would even come. And eventually, after we set everything up, a few people started coming, and our wonderful group of everybody we had trained to share and pray and encourage, they all just kind of hung out together with themselves. And I said, hey, talk to the new people, make some new friends. And so they started just loving on people and praying for them and prophesying over them. And we did this thing, we called it spiritual readings. We have spiritual readings, which is prophecy. It's just a way people can receive. And people are like, how do you know these things about me? So we prophesied and we prayed and we shared. And there was this beautiful lady there. For the sake of just honoring her, I'll call her Sarah. And I looked over and I should pick a different name than Sarah. I don't know, maybe I'll call her Keyshawn. That seems a little more fitting. So Keyshawn was dressed in a way that maybe some people would be a little offended. She had a bit of a see-through outfit on, and she was sitting here in our parking lot, and our team was kind of not knowing what to do. And I tried to go up to connect with her to say, hey, I tried to get her to one of the other stations a little bit, and I just thought, maybe she's going to leave. So I just wanted to connect with her. I didn't have an agenda. I just thought, God really loves you. And so I said, hey, can I give you a photograph? It's one of the things I do. Can I give you an encouraging word? So I gave her a picture and I encouraged her. And then later I said, how can I pray for you? Everybody say, I like to pray for people. How can I pray for you? It works almost every time, guys. I see people come to Jesus when all we say is, how can I pray? And then I pray right then and there, out loud, not just in my head. And then the Lord opens up doors. And so she started sharing about her life and about the strife and the violence and the pain. And I got to share my testimony with her. I got to share the gospel with her. There's no bait and switch. She knew what she was doing. We opened up a New Testament and read John 3:16. Do you want Jesus? Do you want this unconditional love in your life? And she says, yes, I do. And she prays, and we pray to receive the Lord. Now she's got this cute little 4-year-old that just watched somebody severely injured, if not murdered, recently. This is just a place of a lot of violence. I said, can we share with your son? She said, hey, son, come here, sit on my knee. Listen to this lady. She's got something good to tell you. And he gives his life to Jesus, too. So we say, hey, come to church with us tomorrow. Now, the church the next day, it's like high Lutheran church, okay? It's not fully contextualized to this urban neighborhood. And I had a hard time paying attention at that church, if I'm honest, and the hard wooden pews, and I was a little bored, and the poor little four-year-old boy, he did so good on the hard pews for like an hour, and I thought, oh my goodness, this lady just got saved yesterday. How is this going to work? But you know what? The people were so loving and lovely, and they invited her to small groups, and they gave her their information, and they got her son connected, and the pastor started discipling her, because the harvest is here. The harvest is here. Guys, I'm so amazed how hungry people are that don't know Jesus. And how often, how scared we are to talk to him. Well, I don't want to offend them, and I don't want to say the wrong thing, and maybe just eventually after they ask, after I know them for 20 years, then I'll say something. People are harvestable right now. If you connect with them and you love them and you say, how can I pray for you? And they open up a spiritual conversation, why don't you give them an invitation to surrender their life to Jesus? You can invite them to church, that's legal ground, but you get to be the evangelist. That's why God put you around, because he's sending you out into his harvest. Revival is here. Guess what? Revival is you. So I've got this wonderful, so this was, I'll call her Keyshawn. So this is our Blessed Midwest team. So we go up to a reservation in a place that's filled with, is indignation the right word? I don't know. Trash and violence and suicide. And my friend Ray, he comes with. So now Ray, he did our school, and I didn't know that just 4 months ago he was a shut-in who didn't want to live anymore. He grew up in an adopted home because his family had lots of things going on. 5 of his siblings died tragically. And here's this guy, he's been injured, he's disabled, and he doesn't think he's able to do anything. But we did activations together for a few months, and we put him in a small group with the Brazilian guy, and he said, I want to go to Brazil. And I said, come hang out with us in Minneapolis, and let's hit the streets and see what God wants to do. And I watch Ray as he is scared out of his mind, as he's sharing his testimony for the very first time at a little barbecue on this reservation where there's so much addiction and just abuse. And he's shaking, but he shares. And people come to Jesus that day. It's okay if you're shaking. Will you share? What if I pray? What if I ask to pray for this person and they say no? What if they say yes? What's the best that's going to happen? They say yes, you share, they get saved, their life is forever transformed. What's the worst that's going to happen? They say no, and they're like, I don't like you, go away. What are we so afraid of? And I want to admonish you and encourage you. You guys are like the stone in David's sling, and it just takes one to bring down the giant. We want revival in our land. Well, guess what? It just takes one, and that's you. You just say, Daddy, I'll be your stone. Put me in your slingshot. Send me where you want me to go, and I'm going to be willing to open my mouth. It's okay if you're scared. How can I pray for you? Everybody say, how can I pray for you? If you do that one thing, if you do that one thing on a regular basis outside the church, do it with your friends, do it with your family, do it with people you know, but do it with people you don't know. If you do that one thing on a regular basis, people are going to get saved. They're going to get healed. They're going to get delivered. It's going to happen. And you might not feel good at it right away, and that's okay. And maybe you're like, I do this all the time. Well, encourage others to, because you guys are going to be bringing people to Jesus, and they're going to be coming here. This is, your church is growing, but it's also gonna, you have this beautiful organic model. If you're not in a hurry and you want to take time and you want to be with people, and guess what? You're the missionaries. So I've got my friend, he's named Adam, and I didn't know when he took our school that he was on government disability for extreme depression. I didn't know he had attempted suicide multiple times, been in mental hospitals. But he said, can I host a Blessed Midwest event? Can I take people, can I invite them to my city? And so he, and also, what happened? So Adam, he had been through a lot, and one day he just emailed me. He said, God set me free from depression. I didn't know what that meant, like he gave up his Social Security disability. Like, that's a big deal. I mean, anxiety and depression is running rampant. Well, Jesus healed him. He organizes an event in his town, invites people from 5 cities, puts it on the radio, puts out flyers, invites people to come, shares his testimony, prays for the sick, releases, like, healing testimonies over anxiety and depression, and, like, people get set free. And here's Adam, scared out of his mind, sharing his testimony for the first time. It doesn't have to be on a microphone. In the grocery store totally and completely counts. You know, some of you guys who took the training, you heard this story. My sister-in-law said, you have all these crazy testimonies. How do you do it? I want to see. I said, well, we're going into Walmart. Let's try it. So I was going to get, you know, ginger beer. It's more of a punch than ginger ale. And, you know, like, hey, on our way, let's just ask the Lord to lead us. Give God 5 more minutes. Give him a little extra time and just say, I'm willing. Just start up a conversation with anybody. Just start talking to them. And then somewhere in there, you just work in how can I pray for you. It's going to be awesome. Like, most of the time, it's going to be awesome. And the time it's not awesome, you're fine. You're big enough. You'll move on. And so I'm talking to this lady, you know, hey, I like this kind of, you know, she's buying, you know, whatever. I don't know. She's buying root beer. Oh, you like that kind of root beer? Is that a good kind of root beer? You know, I'm chit-chatting. Just chit-chatting. Everybody say just chit-chat. If we chit-chat, it can bring the kingdom if we're intentional. So I'm chit-chatting. You know, hey, do you like that kind of root beer? I like that kind of root beer. Okay. All of a sudden, I'm just like, hey, I know this has nothing to do with root beer, but I like to pray for people. Could I pray for you for something? How could I pray for you? Oh, I would love prayer. That would be great. So now we're in Walmart, and we're praying in the aisle, and now one of the Walmart employees comes by. Are you guys having a prayer meeting right here? Why, yes, we are. That is so great. I pray over this aisle in the store that people would just pray and they would seek the Lord and blah, blah, blah. So she's like, who needs prayer? Do you need prayer? Do you need prayer? So we got the growing prayer meeting because we were getting ginger beer and we gave God 5 more minutes. We just started chit-chatting and then we just said, hey, how can we pray for you? Like, that's it, guys. I love all the big, really cool testimonies come from little moments where we're just aware of the Lord and we linger and we take a risk and it could be awkward or it could be awesome. And the only way to know is just to step out and to try. You know, there's a food distribution. Some friends of mine give out food every week and they said, hey, we want to start praying for the people that come up. And so we had one of the guys that came up and, you know, first car up, hey, I'm here to pray for you as you're waiting to get your food. And this is also Minneapolis. You know, how could I pray for you? You know, I don't remember what actually he needed prayer for, but I pray for him, and when you pray and you keep your eyes open, you can see what's going on with people, and I see the tears streaming down his face. I'm like, okay, I could just move on because we're behind and we're on schedule, or I could just take another minute with this man, and he just starts crying because God starts touching him. And it's some simple prayer, you know, bless him, encourage him. I don't remember what it was. I end up just taking his hand. I'm like, sir, do you know the unconditional love of God and Jesus who died and paid for everything bad you've ever done and has completely forgiven you? Have you received that? Do you know that? He's like, no. Do you want that? Yeah? Just hold his hand as tears stream down his face and pray with him to receive Jesus. Now, I was thinking about this the other day because I'm scared of evangelism. Let's just be honest here. I'm scared. And I speak at mass miracle crusades of like 12,000 people. And sharing my faith and the gospel has been the area that has most intimidated me. Does anybody else feel intimidated by sharing the gospel? Like I'm supposed to get everybody saved, but I don't know how, and I just feel awkward with this. You know, I was thinking the other day, I'm like, you know what? I think a big difference between me and some of the people I talk to is I've had the opportunity to practice a lot more. I mean, the Lord's there and his anointing, all that, but really, I mean, how long did it take you to learn how to drive a car? You weren't instantly good at it. Like, we got to relax a little and give ourselves permission to not be good at something right away and try practicing. We can practice with people that we know to feel safe, and we can just say, Lord, I just want to make myself available to practice with people that, you know, I don't know. So the next car at the food drive is this lady who wants prayer for a job. She's been out of work for a year, business professional. She's like, I'm so embarrassed to come here because I thought I would be judged. Here I am in a food lineup, you know, getting food delivered in my car. She's like, thank you for seeing me for who I am. Okay, let's pray for you for your job. Now she's a believer. Well, she comes back the next week. I wasn't there. She'd been looking for a job for a year. The next week, she says, I got a job. Now, then I'd heard that ministry was praying for a Vietnamese interpreter because they have a lot of people who speak Vietnamese there. So 2 weeks later, I run into her, and she says, 5 days after I got that job, they gave me a promotion and a raise. And I'm here to be a Vietnamese interpreter for now the outreaches. She's joined the outreach team. You know, there's like 300 cars that'll drive up in kind of this epicenter area in Minneapolis, and we give out food. And it's like holy chaos, guys. Like, I tell these stories, and it sounds like, it's awesome. And it's also like, don't get hit by that car. You're backing up the line. Like, oh my gosh, we have the people coming and telling people they're going to hell. Like, let's tone it down. It's not beautifully polished, okay? It's just like, let's tell people about Jesus, and let's pray for them, and let's share the gospel. So we started doing this thing where every car that comes up, we say, I'm here to pray for you. You know, what's your greatest need? We pray for them. Hey, real quick before I pray, you know, the Bible says, John 3:16, you know, God loves us so much. You know, he gave his one and only son. Whoever believes, fully accepts what he's done, won't die, but will have eternal life. You know, if you've never done that, as I pray for you, do you also want to pray and surrender your life to Jesus? This is how we're like, let's share the gospel. We got like 2 minutes with a moving car that's driving through this line. So, you know, we did this the other, I think it was in June, we saw 52 people surrender their lives to Jesus just because we asked. We have missionaries from Colombia coming to the Midwest saying, it is so open here, we've never seen anything like this. We had a lady, she had level 10 pain in her neck and in her back, and I prayed for her, all of her pain left. So I'm like, park your car. She parks her car. She gets on a microphone in this parking lot, shares her testimony in English and in Spanish. People start coming up for prayer. She prays for them. They get healed, and then, hey, do you know Jesus? Do you want to? And then she helps lead them to the Lord, and then she joins our ministry team going forward from there. Guys, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. Heidi Baker would say, hey, we're just like little kids holding daddy's hand. You know, and that's what we all get to be. And I love when I'm in, you know, that time in Brazil when we shared the gospel and we saw out of, you know, 800 kids, 795 of them stand up to give their life to Jesus. I love it. You know, I can't do that in the public schools here at this time, but one-on-one, I can do what I can do. God's a God of revival. He's a God of breakthrough. And that's what he's doing in you. So there's so many more stories and things I could say, but we've had a little taste of our all-you-can-eat buffet. So I want to give ourselves a little bit of time. Just pause if you want. You can close your eyes. And just say, repeat after me, just say, Father, what are you speaking to my heart? Let's just say, what do these testimonies stand out? Is there something that sparked your attention? Even if it wasn't from the message, even if it was from something earlier in the service, but what's the Lord bubbling up? What are you putting on your plate at the buffet? What are you going to eat? And it's going to become part of who you are. And if you want to take out on your phone, or you want to take a piece of paper, you want to write something, sometimes it helps us to process. I'm going to give us just a couple moments, and I want us just to think about, is there a testimony? Is there something that's happened today that's just, it's rising up on your heart? I want to eat more of that. What's standing out to you, and what are you going to do about it? My identity is not in what I do, but out of the overflow of who I am. That's me. That's me being me. What stands out? What's the Lord calling you to do? What's on your heart to do? It could be, I'm going to ask somebody how I could pray for them. It might be, I want to practice sharing the gospel with a friend of mine because I've never really tried it before. It could be, you know, any number of things. But I want us to think about at least one concrete thing that stood out to you today and one concrete thing you could do this week. It doesn't matter how small it is. Everything matters to the Lord. So I'm going to give us a few moments to do that, and then we're going to share with somebody else as we wrap up. You guys are doing so great. Before you, God, and we admit that a lot of us are scared to talk to people we don't know. We don't really know how to tell other people about you. Maybe we're, you know, whatever, God, we're just real, and you're so good with that, and you just love us. And God, I just ask that you would help us to see ourselves as people. I want you guys even just to picture yourself right now, whether it's a friend you know or in a place you go to. I want you to just picture yourself going up to somebody and somehow asking how you can pray for them. And when you picture it, I want you to picture it going well, okay? They're saying yes. And I want you to picture yourself that that person is actually so open to Jesus. And you get to share them with him with them, and they want to give their life to him. One more story I forgot to share. If it's okay, if I share with you one more testimony, is that okay? Oh, we were up in Bemidji, where the Mississippi gets a start. And while we're out at lunch, just hanging out, our waitress forgot to bring mustard. It was like 20 minutes, and when she finally came, I said, "Hey, you forgot to bring the mustard." This is so spiritual. Such a profound testimony. Well, our poor waitress, she's just said, "I just can't do anything right. I'm just having one of those days, and I'm just so sorry." Oh my gosh. "Honey, you're okay. You're more important than the mustard. Do you know how much Father God loves you? Have you ever received all the love that he has?" And she's crying and frustrated, and we're not trying to be spiritual. We were just enjoying our walleye fillet. I forget what I wanted mustard for, but I got to share my testimony. We got to share the gospel, and this sweet, like, 19-year-old grew up in the church but doesn't know the Lord, never surrendered her life to Jesus, prays to give her life to Jesus, all because she forgot the mustard. And we just saw this little moment, this little opportunity of, hey, why don't we just say something? Why don't we just speak up? She was open to prayer, and she was open to turning her life around, and we just said, "Hey, it's your second birthday." And we left her a really, really good tip, too. But all right, I want you just to turn to somebody next to you, Find one person, and I want you to share with them what's the one thing that stood out, one testimony, one story that stood out, and what's one concrete thing you're going to do about it this week. There's not a right or a wrong answer, as long as you share something. So find one person next to you. Groups of two are faster than three. And if you need somebody, we could look around and... Do you have a partner back there, my dear? So send me out into your harvest. I'll be a laborer for you. Oh, I can ask, how can I pray for you? It's gonna be so easy. I pray for you. It's gonna be so easy to do. All right, well, it has been a joy and an honor and a privilege to be with you guys. I'm sure you can continue your conversations even after we break, but to honor our time, I think it's time to bring this plane in for a landing. So why don't we just do one last declaration together, because you're so good at that. If you can, just stand up for me if you're able. And if you haven't finished sharing, please, you can after we dismiss. But the song I feel like the Lord's singing, it just says, so send me out. Everybody say, so send me out into your harvest. I'll be a laborer. For sure get that one. And we'll try the second one too. It says, I will ask, how can I pray for you? It's gonna be so easy to do. Okay, we're gonna try it. You guys are gonna be great. So send me out into your harvest. I'll be a laborer for you. so easy to do. Okay, second time, we're totally nailing it. Got it. Send me out into your harvest. I'll be a laborer for you. I'm gonna ask, how can I pray for you? It's gonna be so easy. All right, why don't you give Jesus and yourselves a round of applause? You guys are great. You are a lot of fun. Thank you again so much for letting me be with you here today. And I would love to connect with anybody afterwards that wants to, and I will bring it back to our senior leader here. Don't you guys have the most amazing senior leaders here? Don't you love them so much?